You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, number one, we can't get in because it's $2,200 a day to join the conference. So they've already excluded the majority of people that they're talking about. We represent some of the lowest paid workers in New Zealand, and in Sky City, they're on strike at the minute. Their idea of fair pay is not just the living wage, but also recognition that not every hour is equal. And many workers in hospital, F&B, many students as well, work nights and work weekends, where Sky City makes its profits. Rob Campbell used to be a union leader way back in the 90s when the unions refused to fight the Employment Contracts Act and weekend rates were destroyed. New Zealand had weekend rates from the 1940s until the 1990s, and older workers can remember being paid time and a half for Friday night and Saturday and double time for Sunday. So that's what they're fighting for and striking for in Sky City now. And some of the lowest paid workers would really benefit if we did get back weekend rates and night rates. So there's a rich irony in some of the wealthiest people in New Zealand attending lectures that you can only go to if you pay $2,200 a day, lecturing the country about fair pay when their own workers are outside in the rain on strike not being listened to.
This is interesting. He's actually talking about fair pay at the conference, yet you've got claims here of unfair wages. Has he or Sky City actually addressed this discrepancy?
So the union, Sea Unite, has been in negotiations with the company for 2 months. However, the company only offered a 3% pay increase. At the minute, workers in New Zealand are no longer accepting such low offers. We've had nurses out in strike. We've had teachers out in strike. We've seen students and school students on climate strikes as well. So something is definitely changing in New Zealand, and people are beginning to stand up against poverty and low wages. And here we can see a group of workers who are also thinking not just about the past when conditions in New Zealand were much better, but the future, not just for themselves, but for all workers who work night shifts, for all workers who work weekends. And if the workers in Sky City can win and bring back weekend rates, like they won 5 years ago against zero-hour contracts, what could happen is that everybody in New Zealand can start raising these demands. And quite a lot of students will benefit from night rates and weekend rates too, when they work on these unsociable shifts.
So what kind of pay are Sky City workers actually get, and what kind of hours are they working to get this pay?
Well, there's lots of different rates at Sky City. You got lots of different departments. You got security guards, you got gaming machine technicians, you got the supervisors, even managers are part of the union in many places. And so the rates vary between, you know, $17, $80, you know, $30, $35 for people who've got more skills. The big question they're looking at, though, is that not every hour is equal. When you work night times, when you work every weekend and you're forced to work the weekends by Sky City, well, then you miss out on quite a lot of things. I mean, there's lots of reports which show that shift workers actually have shorter lives than people who work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. There's a lot of stress on your body and stress on your work-life balance if you're not able to plan to be aware for things like weekends. I just had a call from a worker who doesn't know whether she'll be able to make a marriage at the weekend. And so the companies like Sky City always use the stick on low-paid workers and force people to work shifts. We think instead they should follow the examples that they give to their highly paid executives like Graham Stevens, who's on $4,000 an hour, or like Rob Campbell, who earns bonuses as they make more profit. Why, instead of the stick all the time, why don't they give incentives to workers as well who work night times and who work weekend shifts? And that used to be penal rates. That was time and a half for those shifts. If it's good for the goose, it should be good for the gander. That's why Sky City's chairperson, Rob Campbell, has got striking workers picketing outside in the rain.
So there's actually been past strikes for over a month now, which I personally haven't actually seen much coverage on. How successful have those been?
Strikes are quite good. We've got to obey the law and give the company notice, but they're happening as quick as possible within that framework. So we've got lots of lightning strikes. Workers have been going on strike to see the All Blacks games, for example, at the weekend. Workers have been going on strike for family picnics together. So really making the issue that everybody needs fun time and everybody needs family time, as well as trying to earn a living. And there's a tale of two New Zealands in this story. I mean, there's a kind of like a managerial or a HR culture. They work Monday to Friday. They work 9-to-5 shifts. And then you've got migrant workers, you've got Maori, Polynesian workers, and poor Pakeha workers who don't have that kind of lifestyle, who can't be there for family events, who can't be there for the rugby matches, because they're the people who are working whilst the wealthy are having fun. And I think some of the strikes show that contrast in New Zealand, where, you know, in the flash restaurants like Masu and The Grill on Federal Street now are picketed at the weekends by some of the lowest paid workers, you know, waving red flags in the faces of the rich, saying that we deserve weekend rates, we deserve fair pay, it's time for time and a half.
So the main point of all of these strikes is that if these workers are going to sacrifice their personal lives and so much time, they should be compensated for such a sacrifice. Is that it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, the question's not just of fair pay, which he was talking about yesterday, which is a bit rich, considering these guys pay themselves thousands of dollars an hour, whilst, you know, we're fighting for a living wage of $21 an hour. But the questions are also those of time. And what's interesting about this strike, I've seen many strikes, you know, in McDonald's, Starbucks, in the cinemas. But what's very interesting about this strike is this actually is a strike of liberation. The workers are very, very happy to go on strike on Friday night, on Saturday night. They don't normally get these nights off. They're always forced to work with no bonus, with no reward. And just the power that workers are having to stand up to the managers, many of whom are bullies, and just walk out and go, you do it. I'm off to the party on Saturday night. I'm going to spend Sunday with my family. You know, we're going to have a roast dinner together. I mean, I've seen lots of strikes through the years, but this is one of the happiest strikes I've ever seen, where people actually feel liberated by having the power to say no to the managers and those who bully them onto rosters on unsociable hours and just walk out.
What do you hope for the outcomes of this protest, and will they continue after the conference?
Yeah, the strikes are set to continue one day longer than the company can last. So we're looking at strikes going into Christmas and the busy Chinese New Year festival. Workers are not going to give up on this demand. This is now an industrial dispute. I think New Zealand has seen kind of days of action like around the teachers and the nurses, but this is going to be a sustained industrial fight until the company breaks and until we get a proper offer on the table. Stop bullying workers, stop using rosters to discipline workers, give workers freedom, and you give yourself the rewards and the bonuses. Why shouldn't workers be rewarded for working on sociable hours too, time for time and a half?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.